Hey, what is up, everybody? This is Rob Rivera.
And this is Rob Rucha.
And you're listening to the Robcast Podcast. And we're back.
That's my line. Yeah. Welcome back to the Robcast Podcast.
Episode 6.
We are at number 6.
Wow. I didn't even think we'd get to number 1.
Number 6. This episode is going to be a pretty old school episode.
I think it's a cool episode about determination, passion, survival, which I think it comes out a lot on this episode. And
longevity.
Longevity. Yeah, like survival. Sure. Longevity. Yeah.
And adaption, or adoption? How is it?
Adapting.
And how you adapt throughout the years to stay relevant.
Yeah, I mean, we have Billy Grazia Day. I finally learned how to pronounce that.
It's a hard one.
Yeah. For years, I thought it was Grazia Deli, and then I heard him on the Josta show, and it's Grazia Day. I said, oh, my God, I've been saying it wrong for all these years. But very stoked that he's on the podcast. Many people know, and if you don't know, I have followed Biohazard since pretty much the first album. I saw him live in Boston at the Channel. If anybody remembers the Channel in Boston, this band called Wargasm, one of the biggest metal thrash bands from the area, and got to see Biohazard open. And I instantly fell in love with the band. They just were going to release an album on Maze Records, their first debut record. Killer album. Definitely done low budget, but the music comes across so cool on that. And after that, I saw them again at the Channel opening up for Creator, and they had already had the album out, and it was pretty freaking cool. I think one of the cool things is that when the show ended, Billy got on the mic. He said, no fights. He was happy about not having any fighting at the show, and that's one of the things that he is big on. I saw him actually dive out into the crowd in Fort Lauderdale at Revolution. It was called the Chili Pepper back then. He dove out into the crowd and broke up a fight. He stopped playing and broke up a fight. And I was like, wow, this is so cool that, you know, he was totally against the violence at shows. I mean, pits can get pretty
especially
nuts.
At old school thrash shows.
I mean, yeah, and I mean, hardcore shows, thrash shows. I mean, there was a lot of pent-up energy in those pits back in those days. Still is. And the pit still is pretty
it's
pretty
rough
crazy.
But it should be the environment that was originally developed as a respected zone of, you know, once someone's down, you help them up and then get back into the pit.
That's definitely a general rule for that.
I mean, you're not supposed to be a dick about it.
But before we get to the interview, we'd like to give a shout out to Scott at Good Company with Bowling. Good Company is a high quality YouTube show where Scott interviews artists and runs through each of their albums. He also, on his staff, has Nathan Mowry and his crew from Kind Punk filming and editing. Nathan has filmed the last few Fozzy videos, so check those out. Scott has interviewed artists such as Head from Korn, Elias from Nonpoint, Jose Mangan, Alicia Dove, Crobot, Sonny from POD, Rich War from Fozzy, and tons of other rock artists. As you can see, he has a lot of our friends on this, so definitely go check out Good Company under all social media. Under Good Company with Bowling, or check out his website, scottgoodcompany.com. I'm definitely excited to have Billy on, and hope you guys enjoy the chat. So, what's been going on?
Nothing, man. I'm fucking. You want a clean podcast, or you want real podcast?
Whatever you want, brother.
All right. Nothing, man. I'm just here grinding and hustling and. I've learned over the years, I got a new band called Billy Bio. It's my first solo record, and everybody's like, solo? What made you go solo? And I was like, you know, I feel like I've always been solo, just with my brothers in Biohazard or Powerflow. It's just those are the dudes that I'm hanging with at the time. But I've always written my music and brought finished versions of songs and ideas in. And then we put it through like a meat grinder. But I look at it like it's kind of like how a painter or, you know, anybody who's like any creative painter or sculpturist or whatever, you create something and then you don't invite your buddies over to have a couple beers and give them the paintbrush and say, go ahead and change what you want to change. You know, it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And with a band, as much as I love a band, I love how things work. It's kind of like your ideas get a little diluted. not a little dude. They totally get diluted and change, and you never really get a chance to see your what you really have inside of your head come to fruition. So for me, it's like with Billy Bio, I don't hand off the paintbrush to somebody else and ask them, you know, to change it or see what they think. You know, I don't look for that approval or anything. It's just purely, you know, what is inside of me, my ideas, my music, my grooves, my riffs. It's all, it's just me. And I love it immensely. I mean, more than anything I've ever done in the past. It doesn't mean that I don't love playing with, you know, with Bobby and Danny and the guys in Biohazard or Power Flow. I do. And that will never change, but it's like having your old lady give you, you know, a hall pass to be able to go and date somebody else. You
know? Well, dude,
without having to sleep on the couch or get a divorce.
Well, dude, man, I gotta say, man, after all these years and to even think about starting a new band is incredible, and seems like it's been doing very well for you. I mean, I followed your career from Biohazard to even Suicide City, Power Flow, and now Billy Bio, and it takes a lot to start a new band, and I really think that, I mean, I completely admire that from you, you know, that you actually did that, because not a lot of people are successful to do that, and it's really cool that, you know, it's been a long time coming. I think, you know, it's been, you guys, you've been around like more than 25 years, I think, so it's, you really know, it's really cool, really cool, man.
I remember, thank you, man, but I don't look at it like I don't base my success on things, you know, money or accolades like a Grammy or, you know, gold records and platinum records and all that shit. Those things are cool and they're nice hanging on the wall and it impresses your buddy for 2 seconds.
Yeah.
But what success for me is setting realistic goals. It was always like, you know, I took my first punk rock band I played in, this hardcore band. I told the guys in the band, listen, they were kind of like, yeah, we don't want to do this anymore. And I'm like, yo, we're going to play CBGBs one day. Watch it. Watch us. And they're like, nah, I don't want to do it. I said, all right, I'm going to play CBGBs, motherfucker. Watch. And I did. And these guys went on to do great things in their lives too. But I set realistic goals. If I set out to, you know, open up for Metallica in Europe, I'd be like, what? No way. But CBGB's was a realistic goal that was attainable, and I worked, you know, to get there. And it was steps from there, from starting out just to get there, and then moving on forward past that, and trying to get, you know, getting a record deal, and one thing after another, going on tour and living, you know, a van was a dream, being in a van and being on tour. You know, we used to rent box trucks, put our equipment in the back of the truck. You know the deal.
Yeah. We totally did the van too in the beginning. Trust me.
Yep. And then you, and you slug it out and then you get an RV and that's like, wow, this is high living. And then you move up to a tour bus and it's like, wow. And then you go back to a van on a weekend run and you're like, cool. So once you live in the dirt and the trenches, you can survive anything. And I think, I just tweeted out this thing a little while ago. It's like I always looked at it like no matter what happens, you got to keep your feet planted straight on the ground and remember that you're a descendant of a Neanderthal. So no matter what happens, don't get used to being in a tour bus. Don't get used to people saying, you know, or magazines saying, your record's great, love you, what you do, because it all doesn't matter. In the morning, in the end of the day, we wake up, you got to put your pants on one fucking, you know, leg at a time, you take a piss and you start your day. You grind, you go to work, you do what you got to do to survive. But we're all the same. And the music industry kind of like feeds people a lot of bullshit. And it's all about boosting your ego and all that shit. But anyways, I got off my original point. My point was I just launched the new solo record. It's called Billy Bio. The record's called Feed the Fire. And what I've learned over the years, I'm here editing a new video. I've picked up so much creative side skills that I try to eliminate the need for anyone else. If I could team up with other creatives to help me with my vision, great, awesome. But I don't need anybody. You know, I love to be able to be independent, do what I want to do. when I can, I make my own videos, I direct them. Now I'm editing my own shit, and it's fucking awesome, bro. I just wish that there was 36 hours in the day.
No, I hear you. And I was talking about this to a buddy of mine, that I think band members these days, every single one should learn something, you know, outside of their instrument, either learn Pro Tools, learn to video edit, learn to, you know, get engaged socially, just learn, you know, just learn more about the business. I think band members should really do that. And it's really cool because I know you run your own studio as well, correct?
Yeah, it's called Firewater Studios.
So, I mean, that's cool. I mean, you get to record your own stuff, and it's good to have, you know, that person that, you know, to help you, but it's better to have your own vision, you know. So I think it's really cool that most musicians these days have, like, at least studios in their houses, you know, to not have to worry about going someplace where they can do everything themselves. I think band members should really learn more trades in the industry.
100%, man. I think the biggest thing is just having the ability to record. And like, you don't need to micromanage. I went to school for it since I was a kid, did the first Biohazard demos and worked, you know, forever. For my whole career, Biohazard was always about, you know, all the producers that we worked with. I would sit with them, look over their shoulder, and I learned all these old school, you know, analog tricks and techniques. And then in the digital world, I came up while things transferred over to digital, and that was an easy thing to just pick up as the technology kind of progressed. But having, I don't think, you don't need to be a virtuoso behind a board, but having the ability to capture your ideas and record is awesome. You don't want to be able to, I don't think it's wise to, and I never advise anybody to, you know, you don't need to be the next, you know, I don't know, the next top engineer, Grammy Award winning engineer, but you should be able to articulate your ideas and record them, capture them, and then let other people help you capture that great sound. And this record, I mix, you know, it's easy for me to capture my ideas, and I, you know, I wrote, recorded, and produced the whole thing, and then after, I was like, yeah, cool, I'm ready to mix. Let's mix this. And then I sat back and was like, you know what? I was talking to Tui Madsen and told him about what I was doing. And he's like, oh, I'd love to work with you on something. What's going on with Biohazard? I'm like, nothing. You know, not doing anything. The guys, you know, my drummer's got five kids, and I'm the only guy who's active in music right now. But he said, let me hear what you got. So I played him the record. He flipped out. And he said, I'd love to work with you, bro. And I was like, you know what? Let me step back. So you can't micromanage shit to the point where you're just killing yourself. You got to focus on your strengths and then let other people who shine in other areas help you out if they're willing to be down with you.
Yeah, that's really cool, you know, to take that kind of, you know, like kind of leadership role is really needed with most band members. But, you know, and how long have you been like running Firewater out there in L.A.?
I've been doing studio shit for years. We were underneath the Brooklyn Bridge. Danny Schuler, as a drummer, and I, we had this studio called Rap Piss Studios underneath the Brooklyn Bridge for years. And then we upgraded and left the area. It was a shitty area. Now it's, you know, I think we were paying like $500 a month for this 2,000 square foot warehouse basement area. And it was badass. Now it's probably $3,000 a month. So we left when it was still shitty. So we never saw it. They never raised our rent, but we went to Jersey and opened up a bigger place. And that was called Underground Sound Studios. Danny left the business and went on to do his own thing. And I just kept running the studio. And then we came out here in 2008, about 10 years ago. I had one room that was like mostly like an overdub mix room. And then I still had the place back east. A couple of my buddies, one of the guys from Sworn Enemy used to work with me there, Jeff. And then they would run the studio there, and I would come back and record and bring projects back out here. I would do a couple of bands in L.A. And then I outgrew that place, went to Compton, like Gardena, and then opened up this big place. And then within a year, I went through two floods and a fire. So I changed the name to Firewater Studios.
Wow. That is awesome. That is awesome.
Yep.
So, I mean, do you record bands like on the regular there, like all the time, like when you're off the road?
Yeah, that's just, I'm fully creative. And like I said, if there was 36 hours in a day, I'd be pumping out even more music. But right now I'm with this band called The Hero Within, and they're, I don't know, remember Bloodline? Did you know those guys?
Bloodline? It sounds familiar. Not really sure.
They're from Chicago.
The Bloodline?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Sean Glass, my buddy. Yeah, he's a guitar player in that band.
Travis, did you know Travis?
No, Travis is a singer, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't know him, but of him.
He was with Divine Heresy, too. He sang after... Awesome. The second record. Okay. But anyway, so these guys are from San Diego. I just finished working on that record last night. And then I got this kid, he's down with Cool Keith. I don't know if you're into hip hop, but this rapper, the guy's phenomenal. So I'm back on that record tomorrow. And then next week I start that's next Cutthroat record. I don't know if you know Cutthroat.
Yeah, I know Cutthroat.
I've been producing them since they started.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, dude, I mean, I see you on social media a lot, man. You keep yourself really, really busy, and you keep up with social media, man. I mean, like you said, there's not enough hours in the day to do everything. And I also know that you do jiu-jitsu. Like, how much do you train? I mean, how do you find time to divide all that?
I don't know. I just do it, man. It's always grinding. You have to you have to kind of like really make an effort to put time aside for yourself.
Yeah.
You know, so I work out every day. I gotta be active. It's either if I'm not on the mat, I'm in the gym. But you know, I'll be there. I train like 3 or 4 times a week, I'm at the academy, and then, I'm in the gym every other day. So I think you get, you can get burnt out, and I got so much grind in me that I it's important that I take time away to you know, not do something and not be, you know, in the studio, not be with the guitar in my hand, or, you know, working on some creative project that I'm on. And, you know, whether it's, you know, just playing with the kids or, you know, in the gym or something like that, it's important. It recharges my batteries, keeps me grounded, and, yeah.
That's awesome. I mean, I do the same, and I'm constantly doing something at home, and I have I have 2 kids, and like you said, it's never enough hours. And now I added this podcast to my list of stuff that I do, you know, and like you said, I'm always looking for something to do. You have to stay busy, creative all the time. And I know a lot of people that all of a sudden they just stop doing what they're doing, even though they're really good at it. And that's, you know, kind of sucks to see such talent not be able to be used, or not having the passion to use it. And that's something that I see from you all the time, whether you're like doing a video or playing in different bands. And I think it's really cool that you keep up, and that inspires people. It inspires guys like me who, you know, we're getting up there in age, but we still have that fire in us. And I don't think it ever should stop. So that's really admirable, man. I think you're inspiring a lot of people for sure.
Thank you, man. It's kind of weird to say thank you, but I don't do it for the praise, but it's, you know, I've been inspired too. And I think I remember, I was playing with Blood for Blood, and I was hanging out with Gloria and Max and telling them, she was like, wow, you're doing something different. You've been doing bio for so years. I'm like, yeah, I got so much stuff I want to do and so many things, but it's hard to break out and just start something new. And I think I had just finished Suicide City or something. I don't recall, but they said, they're like, just start a new band, just make a new name, grab, you know, some members from this band and keep it going like that. And that always stuck in my head. And to break out and venture on my own with Billy Bio is, you know, was inspired by what they do. I mean, it was, you know, from Kill or Be Killed to everything that Max has going on. It's pretty badass. You know, I admire it. It's like nonstop. It's just like you're on tour working on one band and writing for another band. So when you come home, that record gets recorded, and then you go back out. with a different band. So you got to respect the hustle and the grind, and it's real. It's not like when you're younger, I think you're focused more on like the partying and all the extra stuff that comes with being in a band. And then when you get a little bit wiser, you realize, you know, the main thing and the main reason you started it was all about the music. It was about the expression and the creativity. And that becomes more, I would say, more focused, more streamlined, and more pure. And that, I think, the cream that rises to the top and survives, it's you thrive more as you get more honed in on your craft, and it's easier to express yourself, right? You know the tricks, the paths to get the ideas from out of your head, onto vinyl or CD or MP3 now,
Yeah. Streaming. Well, I mean,
in streaming.
Yeah. What's, so
where the money is.
Oh yeah. That's definitely where the money's going right now. But, what, let's say Power Flow, like you guys have another record in you. What's in that future?
Yeah, just, they're getting, Cypress Hill's getting their star tomorrow. So I'll be with Sen tomorrow morning. And that's fucking so badass.
Dude, that is awesome. I didn't even know that. Hollywood Boulevard. That's so sick.
Yeah. So, I just fed them a bunch of songs. I 15 songs. We got a couple of them already done. And then, he's on the hustle for the new Cypress Hill, and I'm doing Billy Bio. And that was the plan all along, is that Power Flow was kind of like our baby, where we would juggle that with our other, bands. So we're on to record number two now, and that'll be out later this year.
That is awesome. And that first album is really cool. And when I saw that, that combination of you and Sen, and I remember that you guys used to cover a Cypress Hill track back in the day, right?
Yeah, Sen and I, we've been friends since, early 90s. He dropped some, spit some words on some Biohazard tracks. We used to cover Ain't Going Out Like That, which was fucking awesome. And
yeah.
Sen always, he would guest on some bands and, do some collabs with me on different tracks. Over the years, we stayed friends. He came to me with Roy and was like, "Hey, we got this thing. What do you think?" And I was like, "Cool, I dig it.
That's awesome."
Like, you want to be down with that? I'm like, "I'll write for you, produce you, but I don't want to leave on tour. If I'm going to leave my family, I'm going to, I don't want to go on, sit in a van and make no money and come home and be broke, right. From not making money on tour. I don't have that in me anymore."
Yeah.
And I said, "If I'm going to leave, it's got to be for Biohazard, which is my passion."
Yeah.
Like, "Yeah, that's cool. I get it." So I started writing and producing them. And then when we got done, we were in the studio at NRG. And I turned around and the drummer, Fernando, who was an old friend of mine, and yeah, we had this band called Endra together, he said to me in Portuguese, he's like, "What do you think, bro? Just look at this. It's just a blast." We were having a blast making the record. And it was nice to be able to, I produced it, but we did the drums there, and then I didn't mix it. We had Jay Baumgartner mix it, and he was fucking killing it. And I was like, "Yeah, this is awesome. I'm down. Let's do this." And then we without a band name, we became a band, and then the record was done. And a couple months later, Sen and Roy were talking about this idea. Sen was like, "I'm thinking about going with Power Flow. What do you think? You like that?" I'm like, "That's cool. Let's do it."
That's awesome.
Not much thought. It wasn't a planned thing. It was more like a bunch of guys who get together. And even though I'm straight and sober, it's more like Sunday nights. Sen would come to the studio on Sunday nights, after football, and we work on a song.
He'd spit awesome
vocals down, and then I'd send it to the guys the next day, and I'd do some my magic, and then it's a song. Bam.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, I'm glad that there's another I haven't got the chance to see you guys live yet, but I'm looking forward to hopefully see you on this next run. So now getting back
to... We should do a Power Flow non-point.
I'm down.
That would be
I'm
badass.
Totally down. You don't have, you got yeah. my yes. I'm totally down. That would be awesome. So Biohazard, what's... that's been your thing for God knows how long. I saw Bauhaus in 1990. And yep, from that time on, and it's like you've consistent album after album, been a huge fan. I've always followed. So what's in the future for Biohazard?
Biohazard is a type of band. We don't plan things out. We never have, and we never will. It's a vibe thing. When everybody just seems to line up and we're on the same page, we just get together and we do something. And I've been like, Danny and I have been the guys that have been there since the beginning. Really, the OGs, never, you know, it's never been out of the band, but Bobby's, we split Bobby in the mid 90s after State of the World Address. So it's right now it's Danny, Bobby and I, but there's Evan split like almost 8 years ago.
Yeah, I remember.
So it is what it is. We respect it. We love it and hold it close to our heart. And when it's right, it's right. Right now we're not doing anything.
Okay. Well, dude, I appreciate you coming on the show. If there's anything you want to plug before we leave, you can leave your, you want to tell us where we can find you on social media, website address. So go ahead and drop it now.
BillyBio.com is the new band. Everything on social media is Billy Biohazard. That's it. Pretty simple. I'm there every day. Hit me a message. Love to talk to you. Find out what you dig about what I do. And, it's you're talking to me. You're not talking to some intern at a management company.
Awesome. All right, Billy, thank you so much. You have an awesome day and looking forward to hearing more stuff from you.
Awesome, guys. Thanks for the time and best of luck with the podcast.
All right. Thank you, man. Later.
Take it easy, guys. Peace.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. It was awesome to chat with Billy. Go check out Billy Bio. It's on Apple Music, Spotify, YouTube, wherever you listen to music, any streaming service that's out there. Check out the record. You love the stuff really old school with some awesome lyrics. Go pick up Billy Bio's brand new record, his debut solo album, Feed the Fire. And this is a song off that album called Freedom's Never Free.